It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Fasten your seatbelts, everybody. It's going to be a bumpy night.
This is not a horror movie. I don't care. You can tell me. You can sit there. You can put a gun to my fucking head. This is not a horror movie. This is a drama thriller.
Corky does magic. I only do tricks. You'll never know how many people want to believe in magic.
And now I get to say these 9 words. I have watched a sex scene with Anthony Hopkins.
Yes!
See, 2 years ago, you couldn't get arrested. 2 years from now, you are going to have it all. Corky, NBC wants a pilot special.
Yeah, all this can be yours for the price of a medical exam. He's like, no, I won't do it, you understand? You'll never take me alive.
How long you been like this, kid?
It's for the act, for Christ's sakes!
His spontaneity in that scene with his anxiousness comes across completely. Like, I bought that he was just caught in the middle of it. He's embarrassed and frightened and anxious all at once.
Make Fat shut up for 5 minutes.
5 minutes? I can make him shut up for 5 years.
He realizes, he's like, oh fuck, this guy is not right in the head.
Corky, you ain't in control!
Okay, again, if there's a creepy puppet, people die.
No. There's a creepy ventriloquist with a puppet, and the ventriloquist is going fucking bonkers throughout the entire film.
What do you want from me?
No goddamn well what?
I don't!
Liar!
Tell me!
Weakling!
I'm not!
Stop the postman!
I can't!
Gutless fuck!
I can't!
Stop the postman!
How? With what?
Me!
Welcome back, my friends, to the Horror 101 podcast. This is episode 117 and our final show for 2021. World famous Brian Stewart had a birthday at the end of December, so we offered him his choice for the film to be covered on this show. His choice was an obscure little film from the late 70s, which has huge star power, written by the award-winning William Goldman and scored by the legendary Jerry Goldsmith. This film sparked a huge debate between us as to whether or not it's actually a horror film. IMDb says it is. I always remember seeing it in the horror section when I was a kid. We will let you decide, listeners. So without further ado, here is our Horror 101 treatment of Sir Richard Attenborough's Magic.
And, oh, before we continue, I'd just like to say that we have got the Spotify situation sorted out.
Oh, good. What happened?
Well, they were telling me just make a change in the actual show, so I changed the title, you know, put brackets around the year or something like that, reapplied. They're like, if you make a change and then reapply it, then it should give them a new URL to extract the RSS feed from. And I'm like, okay, so I tried that, didn't work. I'm like, okay, well, the problem is the audio file. Nobody else is having the problem, but Spotify's having a problem with the audio file. So what I did was I made a copy. So, you know, say that the name of the file is Horror 101 Episode 115.mp3. So I'm like, make a copy of it. So now I've got Horror 101 Episode 115 brackets 1.mp3. So I edited the Exorcist show. I'm like, okay, remove the audio from this show, uploaded the new copy that I had made, applied. And then about 20 minutes later, I refreshed Spotify, and sure enough, the show from The Exorcist went from 39 minutes to the 54 minutes that it should have been. Listeners, if you ever shut the show off when I'm saying, hey, thanks for listening, there's more to come. I always put something funny at the very end of the show. So if you don't hear the Suspiria music at the end of the show, you're missing out, because I always put a snippet at the end there. both those shows now have the full runtime. So there you go. Yay. The Spotify issue is gone.
Yay!
And what was the last show that we did? It was Descent. Descent.
Yeah.
There was no issue with when that was updated on Spotify. I checked, and the runtime was 100%. So this was a fluke that happened with our previous two shows. It's been remedied, and I'm hoping that it doesn't happen again. No. And if it does, I'll be on it immediately to resolve it.
Right. Now, don't do it again.
Yes. What are we watching?
Brian Stewart has picked for
Fuck. Are we watching Magic?
Yes, yeah. Magic.
Oh, no. It took you how many goddamn years?
I know.
No, I just heard him talk about it for the last half a fucking decade.
Well, no, because it was almost a show at one point.
It was almost a show. Almost a show. And you know what? I will admit this to you, Brian, I know you've been looking forward to this one for quite some time. You're like, well, it's my birthday at the end of December. How about we do this for my birthday? It's like, okay, fine.
I finally get my way.
What year?
1978.
It was the year I was born.
I am hazy on this one at best. Oh, I know who's in it. Okay. I know what it's about. And if I have seen it, and I'm not even 100% sure that I have, but if I have seen it, it would have been at Todd's Place on Ottawa, which dates it at least 25 years ago.
Okay.
I do not remember this film. I know what it's about.
So this will be the slowest burn.
Oh, my God. That is the nice way of saying it. It's boring.
It's not boring. I will adamantly defy you there, sir. It's amazing performances, but heavyweights in this, written by William Goldman, who penned the screenplay for Misery, wrote Princess Bride, Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid. He wrote Marathon Man.
It makes sense. When did we do Misery? Was that earlier this year or last year? Nude?
It was for your birthday, wasn't it?
It was last year.
Last year we did Misery?
It was for your birthday, wasn't it? Last year.
As soon as Brian figured out the guy that wrote it, I think that's when he started on the Magic Crusade.
No, he's been talking about it.
You mentioned it first, because you put it up on the Horror 101 website, and I'm like, oh, you're considering that. And I was all excited. Here we go.
Sell this movie, Brian.
The movie has some serious heavyweights. So this was one of two films that Attenborough was asked to direct so he would get the green light to do Gandhi. So he had to do Bridge Too Far in this. And this was kind of like a throwaway assignment by the studio to make a low-budget horror film to make the money so they could bankroll Gandhi. And so it wasn't supposed to be this big, major project. But, you know, but they got some serious heavyweights. It was adapted from William Goldman's novel. Like I say, you couldn't ask for a better screenwriter. The director, Lord Richard Attenborough, is directing.
Did Goldman do the screenplay as well?
Yes. Okay. He adapted his own novel.
Okay, good.
You've got Anthony Hopkins, right, from Silence of the Lambs. You've got Goldman, who wrote Misery. You've got Ed Lauder, who was in Cujo. So you've
and
got
Burgess Meredith.
Burgess Meredith, who was in Burnt Offerings and in The Sentinel.
We should do Burnt Offerings. We love The Sentinel. Yeah. That was a great show. We should do Burnt Offerings.
So Goldman wrote this story because he was always fascinated by magicians. It's very much about a magician and the idea of stage fright and performance anxiety
and
tension and how to deal with it. And so this character is very much an amalgamation of somebody who's incredibly talented, but also the burden of performing is killing him, and it's this mental strain. So it's, like I say, it was based on this magician who was a professional psychiatrist but had performance anxiety issues. And so that whole having to bury the stage fright, what do you do with it? And so he's a touring character, so I like the psychological aspect.
That's what this character is based off of here.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins character.
Quirky.
You know what, Brian? You've been looking forward to this a long time. I'm looking forward to watching this again because I know what it's about and I kind of know what I'm in for, but I forget the characters and how it rolls out. So I'm looking forward to this.
I'm saying
again.
Give it a shot to the end because I got to say there's at least two scenes in this movie, one in particular, that is.
Don't spoil it.
I won't say what scene. I was actually happy. I watched the documentary, an interview with William Goldman on the Blu-ray copy, and when he was writing it, his favorite scene just happened to also be mine. I was quite happy. I was like, oh, of course.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if it pleases you, we will begin this movie now. Let's hope that we score it well for Brian Stewart.
Wow. We'll let the chips fall where they may.
We'll see where it goes. Let's pause this and we will watch this film.
When your heart begins to pound, When your mind begins to go, keep telling yourself, it's only a movie.
You do magic too?
Corky does magic. I only do tricks.
There's never been a magician like him.
How long you been like this, kid?
You never really told why you were here.
Hiding. Wasn't that cheap in New York?
You won success, but you're afraid of it.
I figured I'd stop by here and ask you folks about you.
Not afraid.
Where were you living? What city? How many kids?
I'm not afraid.
Never expected to find you. I've loved you all my damn life.
I won't be here!
I was afraid of success. Like you said, I needed to get my head on straight.
And now you're fine?
Sure, on account of Peg. I've known her ever since high school. I never figured I'd have a chance to...
Peg Yance, no, please. Let me follow wherever you go.
That you and me take off.
I love Peg.
Just the two of us. Now everything's changed. She believes me.
A man appears after 15 years, says run away with me.
Don't do it. Oh, please, don't kill her.
No, I can't do it! I won't do it, you can't leave me!
Magic, a terrifying love story. Joseph E. Levine presents Magic, starring Anthony Hopkins, Anne Margaret, Burgess Meredith, Ed Lauter, distributed by 20th Century Fox.
Let's go back to the beginning. Brian Stewart, help us out.
Typical what you would see in magic circles. You have a master magician obviously teaching a protege, or a young magician.
Was that his father, or just a teacher. A mentor?
Just a teacher.
Merlin Jr.
Who is not doing well. I like the slow pan around the room showing the heyday of magic, the glory days, the posters.
Very Rear Window-ish.
Yeah, everything about this movie is about things fading into obscurity, right? Because it's set in the Catskills, which has certainly seen better days. It's about performance art that has seen better days. Even his agent says, this is the best magician we've had in 50 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been quite the drought, right? So everything about this movie is things fading away. Even though he's quite talented, even the magician says there's maybe three or four guys in the world that can do you do with a deck of cards, but it doesn't impress anyone. It doesn't make for good stage material, and yet it requires a lot of discipline. So you can already see that kind of rift where he's frustrated because all the work he's putting into this, something he cares about, means very little to an audience.
You stupid sons of bitches, I said, don't you know how hard that was? That's $1,000 of my life you just saw.
It's just how awkward that open mic night is.
Mm-hmm.
Panning around the tables that have their backs turned to him, people laughing, everyone's talking amongst themselves, nobody's watching what he's doing. One or two people might be interested, but then they turn away, right?
And they don't care until he loses his mind.
Yeah.
Until he swears at them.
And then he has their attention.
Yeah.
Right? So you kind of see the forming of the rift there, that he has to be outlandish, he has to strike out just to get them to turn around and
look. Although, to me, it's set up that he's already lost his mind at the very beginning, even when he's talking to the dying teacher on the sofa.
I guess this boy Withers is your latest sensation, hmm?
Oh, yeah. Sit down.
Jeez, you booked him into a very classy spot, Ben.
Well, I found him here. You know, it's not easy getting him to move. You want a beer? It's safe.
Sure. He likes this place?
Well, he bombed here his first time out, you know? But he didn't get... Hey, get him a beer, Gossip.
Sure. Budweiser?
But he didn't give up. He just worked his ass off for a year. He come back and he hit it big. There's never been a magician like him.
You drag me down here for a magician? Come on, Ben. I run a goddamn network. We can't book those guys on kiddie shows anymore.
Now, listen. Your old man got his start working for me, you little fart. Don't tell me what bombs. Magic is misdirection. That's all it is. And misdirection is getting the people to look in the wrong place at the right times.
It's really interesting when they bring in the big shot from NBC, David Ogden steers his character.
It's Pierce.
Yeah, that's it. And he's watching the show. Every time he's like, a magician? You brought me all the way down here? I run a major network. And every time there's doubts about the quality of this actor, this person he's about to see, they do a quick cut over to Burgess Meredith, who just smiles knowingly while he's smoking his cigar. Yeah. Like, you'll see, you'll see. Until Hopkins seemingly blows the trick. And then we don't get a cut to Burgess Meredith to reassure us, right? We feel like, oh shit, maybe something's actually gone wrong, but it's all part of the act, right?
Right.
But the fact they don't cut back over to Burgess that one time was really good, I thought. Because all we had is the worried expression on David Ogden Stiers' face.
If you're so great, change it while I'm holding it.
You won't give it back to me?
Well, that's another trick you ruined. Let's see, I just have to think of something else. You mean you're not going to change my diamond?
Jesus Christ.
What?
It tanged into a heart while I was holding it.
His agent is Burgess Meredith Gangrene, they called him.
Yeah.
Gangrene. And he's like, yeah, I can get you a shot on NBC. They want to do a pilot. You're going places. You know, I'm going to work for you, no problem. But you got to take this, a doctor's test or something like that. Like, not a physical, what they called it?
A medical exam.
A medical exam. It's like, yeah. No, I ain't doing it. So he knows he ain't right. At the very beginning, he knows he ain't right.
Yeah!
Kid, I don't have to ask you what the trouble is. I know what the trouble is.
I've told you once before.
It's just success, kid. Please believe me. You want success, but you're afraid of it. Now that happens to everybody at the stage.
I'm not afraid.
Stay right there. I'll be right over and we'll talk it through.
I'm not afraid.
Hang tight, kid. I'm on my way.
I won't be here!
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, all this can be yours for the price of a medical exam. He's like, no, I won't do it. You understand? You'll never take me alive.
Maybe I missed this part, but continuity. I'm having, maybe I didn't see it or didn't understand it. Where did all of a sudden this dummy surface? Where did he come from?
When he's in the room with Marilyn Jr. at the end, on the shelf, there is a dummy there. I don't know if it's the same one or not.
It's a different one.
It is a different one, but the, what's his name, Merlin, towards the end makes this whole thing about, what does he say?
You need charm.
You need charm.
You gotta talk to the
so
people.
So it's almost like after, somewhere between him dying and him getting successful, but it just comes out of nowhere.
It's not explained. It's just like he's an overnight sensation. Yeah.
You look a lot like yourself, you know that? Yeah, I caught you on the Carson show a couple of times. You must make a ton for that, huh? How'd you luck into that? You know? See, I sing great. I know they'd cream over me.
My agent, William Morris, arranged it.
Is this Morris guy a personal friend of Carson? Is that how that works?
William Morris is the name of an agency, not a guy.
Oh.
Hold it. Right here.
Like, he's dropping everything just to go away, and then he goes to check in on this old fling that he had in high school, and sure enough, she's there by herself, and it's like, oh my God. He wasn't expecting that, and that was a jolt to his psyche. So there's like different elements that have made
triggers.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh my God, you bought that?
You thought Peg didn't remember.
You knew who I was too?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you two at least grunt at each other?
He's just as cute as he is on the tube.
Cute? Feral, yes. Sexy, yes. Ronald Reagan is cute.
The one thing I didn't like about the film was Anne Margaret. Her character, it just didn't seem correct. It just didn't
seem... She was poorly written.
I couldn't buy her
It was an idealized life to go...
This was an
idealized, stupid situation written by a guy who has no understanding of how a woman would actually act in those circumstances.
Which is weird, because Goldman has written very good female characters and other things.
Well, he did in this, because honestly, that scene where they're, like I said, where they're playing, where he's trying to teach her the card trick.
Yeah.
Any woman, even if she's in an abusive relationship, would have seen that as a red flag.
Sit down, Peg! Get back down! That was your fault. You started out fine, but then you let me drift.
Jesus, Cor, forget it!
I was in bad shape in New York, Peg, and I had to run. Where'd you go when there's no place to go? Go home. Except there was nothing but empty houses and old cemeteries. I figured I'd stop by here and ask you folks about you. Where were you living? What city? How many kids? Never expected to find you. I've loved you all my goddamn life. I needed a piece of good news about Peggy Ann Snow. Shuffle the goddamn cops fast!
Even if she was being abused by in her marriage, she still would have seen that particular moment as a red flag and done whatever she could to remove herself from that situation with him.
Fuck this.
But yeah, when you see the fact that she's in a somewhat unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, but still, yeah, I mean,
this was her way out.
But at that point when he's like losing his mind because she can't pull a card properly.
Keep in mind the timing as well. 1970.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
that's,
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that.
She's also in a apparently abusive relationship with a drunk.
Literally just said that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
And now I get to say these 9 words. I have watched a sex scene with Anthony Hopkins.
Yes! With a shaky cam. With a fucking shaky cam.
Yeah.
And Jerry Goldsmith has really got the strings going. I'm like, wow. It just, that, the music did not match the passion that was on the screen. That was kind of a fail right there. Is it perfect? No.
Watch it, mister.
Just because some...
You've been warned.
Just because some sagging bitch of an orange in the drops of pants for you.
Shut up!
Corky, you do it so good. You're even better than the garbage man. Ah!
Hey, Ben. How do you like it? I think it's going to be terrific.
What's with gangrene? Blue Cross repossess your tongue?
Come on in, shut up. Come on in, Ben. I'll do the whole routine for you. How the hell did you ever find me? You're amazing.
Fats and him are having an argument. Like, this is the first argument that they're screaming at each other from across the cabin. And then he grabs him. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? And Burgess Meredith is at the door. He's seen this entire exchange. And he realizes, he's like, oh, fuck. This guy is not right in the head.
How long you been like this, kid?
Like what? Oh my God, you don't think that was for real? How do you think I rehearse?
It's no good.
It's for the act, for Christ's sakes! Watch now.
It's like, no, that ain't rehearsal. You didn't know I was here.
His spontaneity in that scene with his anxiousness comes across completely. Like, I bought that he was just caught in the middle of it. He's embarrassed and frightened and anxious all at once.
Is this why you wouldn't take the medical exam? You figured somebody'd find out?
Bullshit! I take the stupid exam! I was afraid of success, like you said. I needed to get my head on straight. I'll take the exam, do the show, whatever you want.
What I want, kid? What I want is for you to see somebody.
Who? Who would I see?
Quit with the games!
Quit with the yarn!
Shut up! He should show a little growler, fucking toad. You've been slaving away, coming up with great new stuff. That was blockbuster material, mister. When I come back with Running or with Pekka, there are plots in Vegas. That's funny.
Corky, you ain't in control!
He could have just been like, okay, I've seen enough, I'm out. But he's still invested in this
in
guy.
As a person, yeah.
He's still invested in this guy. He's like, I tell you what, you know, we'll get you the help. Obviously, you got a problem. We're going to get you the help you need. It's not a problem. We can deal with this. We can get by this and we can still be successful. It's not a problem. I enjoyed that.
I'm going to ask you to do something. It's a little something anybody ought to be able to do. Now, if you can do it, fine. We'll forget this whole thing. But if you can't, we'll think about getting you to see somebody fast.
Name it.
Make Fat shut up for 5 minutes.
5 minutes? I can make him shut up for 5 years.
Wonderful.
That scene right there, how long's it been? 30 seconds. Okay, well, all right. How long's it been now? About a minute? And then at 2.5 minutes, he's like, I don't think I could ever... I like that line. I don't think I can ever forgive you for this. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, what are you going to do about the situation? And sure enough...
Hello, everybody. This is Mrs. Norman Maine. My mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you. You have nothing to fear but fear itself, nothing to give but blood, sweat, and tears, nothing to lose but your chains. Here he is, boys. Here he is, world. Here's Fat!
This frail old man literally does not consider him a threat. The fact that he turns his back on him, and even when he touches him, he tears him down and then walks away thinking there's no way this guy's gonna do anything with me.
Yeah, he's not here for anyone's shit.
Ow! Never raise a hand to me again.
You're taking my one chance.
I'm your one chance.
He's right. The postman's right. You're crazy.
Like, nobody can know my secret. Nobody can know that I'm and fucking insane.
He doesn't like anyone thinking there's something wrong with him, right? He's got a very fragile ego.
So it's going to drive him to murder?
Possibly.
Possibly? Obviously it did.
What do you want from me? No goddamn well what? I don't!
Liar!
Tell me!
Quickly!
I'm not!
Stop the postman!
I can't!
Godless fuck!
I can't!
Stop the postman!
How? How? With what?
Me!
He beats him to death, or half to death.
Yeah, most,
with the dummy. Fucking beats him with the dummy to death. It's like, okay, well, fill his pockets with stones, and then you can drown him. Yeah, do that shit. Yeah, that's a good idea. And it's like, okay, fine, strips down, grabs the body. As he's dragging his body out, you can see Fats getting further and further away in the window. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, the only reason this scene is going on so long is so Burgess Meredith can come too.
Yeah.
And some,
well,
and sure enough, he does.
Well, it'll be fun. If you don't like fishing, I'll let you row. Just had a good talk with Peg. Like to have one with you now.
I'll grab a jacket. Where is Peg?
She's in town making a decision, she said.
I forgot. I liked the husband in this.
Ed Lauder.
I thought he was very good in this.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
So, yeah.
The insecure drunk husband.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent.
And he nails it too. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, of course he does.
He's smart.
I like how he tries to force a confession out of him by lying.
Yeah,
my wife says you fucked her. How'd you like that? Really? He doesn't fall for it.
Damn,
he doesn't fall for it. Yeah. I like that.
Peg said you screwed her last night.
Damn. I told her to keep it a secret.
Think it's funny, do you?
Is that why you brought me out here? Tried to get me to admit to something that never happened? If it is, I'd like to go back in now, Duke.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, it's heavy.
Duke, I said I'd like to go back in now.
Feels like a whale.
Got him. I was joking around earlier saying the most suspenseful scene involved a piece of driftwood. But I did like that scene in the, like, I just like that whole scene in the boat leading up to that point, because when he's like, oh God, I caught something, you know, feels
it's
like
a whale.
Yeah. And it's you see him at first, like, just the way he conveys the oh fuck, am I caught? You know, what do I do? And then you see him holding the oar. So he's waiting up until, like, the last minute to see what in the hell it is. And just the palpable look of relief on his face once he realized that it wasn't that. But I just love the fact that immediately following that, Ed Lauder's character, or Duke, or whatever, sees first. So he's thinking, it's like, I dodged a bullet. It's fine. Everything's great. Hey, look, there's a body over there.
I wonder who he is. See what his wallet says.
Jesus Christ, I was thinking he might be a Rolls Royce guy.
King Green? You must be kidding, he's about 6'3".
He's stripped clean.
Doesn't make sense. Must be some identification.
I'll do the kiss of life. You run up to the house, call Normandy Hospital, tell him to get over.
Right.
And stay at the house till I get there so you can direct them straight here.
Gotcha!
Duke, the husband, is in his cabin looking for whatever, finds evidence that the guy that they just pulled out of the water, his watch, his wallet is in Corky's possession. He's got blood on the hair for the dummy. He's like, what the fuck is that? And then Corky's sitting by the wall and kind of like does a twitch or something like that. He goes to check it out. And Fats's arm comes up and starts stabbing him. So. For us, it looks like the doll's attack, stabbing him and slashing his throat, and we're like, oh, and then the doll falls on the body, and we're like, what the fuck? And then, sure enough, the curtain is exposed, and the Wizard of Oz is there. You know what I'm saying? And here's a frantic sweat-soaked Anthony Hopkins, like, oh my God, what's happened? What did you do? That is horror.
Well, clean my face and you won't throw up. Okay. You're going to take the canvas and you're going to wrap part around Duke here and part of it around gangrene. Then you're going to get a nice big rock and wrap the rest around it. Take that out of my mouth. Then you're going to row out and dump the bundle over the side. And if you do it right, I'll be able to say, attaboy, schmucko! Two bites with one stone.
Okay, I get it. There's a creepy puppet. People die.
No. There is a creepy ventriloquist with a puppet, and the ventriloquist is going fucking bonkers throughout the entire film. Like, this... Like I said, this... Watching this guy go descend into madness was very entertaining.
Don't do it. You really love old Pet, don't you?
Oh, please don't kill her.
Schmucko, easy. I wouldn't dream of depriving you of that pleasure.
No, I can't do it.
There's that old bugaboo of yours again. Lack of confidence.
I won't do it. You can't make me.
Wow, I really stepped on a corn that time. If I can't make you, I can't make you. How's your head, Cork?
Fine.
Thought you might be getting a migraine.
No!
Shows how wrong you can be.
The realization that Fats was going to make him kill Peg. And it was just the back and forth. I can't. You can't make me do it. He was obviously fighting himself, but it was great acting. Like, that scene was really, really well done.
He's got the face up against the mirror.
Yeah, and he's basically, whatever Fats is telling him to do, or whatever his mind is telling him, he's doing it. And it's like, the transition, like, in his face is like, well done. Like, really, and really good.
Open those baby blues. Looks to me like one of those gut wrenches. It's getting bad fast. Oh, wasn't it 100 times worse than 100 days long? Then take the knife on up the hill, lover. And kiss the girl goodbye.
There is one scene in the film where the fucking doll moves without his hand being up its ass. It does move.
Yeah, that happens once. By accident, apparently.
Oh, yeah? You know what
yes,
I'm talking about.
Yes, on the couch. That was the only time the doll moves when he's away from the doll.
Yes.
And it's actually because if you put down a ventriloquist dummy, parts continue to move after you set them down. And they managed to catch that. There was about 5 or 6 takes of that scene, and the one take, he moves.
Yeah. So,
and they kept
and for
it.
That brief moment, and the one thing at the end, you actually start to wonder, is like, is there more going on with this doll?
Yeah.
It's not nearly fleshed out.
No. But it's enough just to fuck with your brain a second and be like, wait a minute.
Duke?
I left Schmucko down at the cabin. Open up, huh? You and me gotta have a quick palaver.
Corky, there's nothing to say.
I told you, he's at the cabin. You and me are the only ones can straighten this out.
Go away, Cork.
Fats!
All right, go away, Fats.
That's better. At least we know who we are now.
A couple of the scenes I like. I like when Fats is outside her door at the end of the movie. And he's talking, and it's not Corky at all. Corky's gone, and it's just Fats talking.
But Fats ain't even there.
Yeah.
Fats ain't even there.
Oh, he is.
No.
I think that's them implying that he is, that he has taken over Hopkins' body completely.
No. What I'm saying is Fats is still in his cabin.
Physically, yeah.
Like, if she was to open the door, there would be no Fats. No. It would be Corky.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, if she'd opened the door, would he have continued to speak to her as Fats?
Probably.
Yeah?
That's my guess.
Wait a minute. You didn't leave.
Brains as well as boobs. Anytime you feel like playing with my levers, you'll call?
Sure.
Peggy and Snow, please let me follow wherever you go.
And then when she goes to open the door, he's sitting there with the knife, like, and the look on his face, I don't know if it was the lighting or not, but just him holding that knife looks scary
Well, like he looks
maniacal in that scene.
But he looks more puppet though, because if you look, his expression is that blank stare.
It like could he's be not really makeup. I don't. There was something about that scene that just put me off.
He looked like the dummy.
Yeah,
like the she puppet. Was trying to match the expression on the puppet, like basically to show that. Yeah,
he is in fat. Control
anymore. But yeah. It's interesting because even in their names, it kind of implies who's really in charge, because Corky is a name you would typically give to a dummy because that's like a name of wood, right? Whereas Fats is flesh. Like, fat is flesh and human. And so the two are kind of, you know, switch places.
I don't know how to say this since I haven't got a stomach, but my stomach hides. Bad. Getting bad. Getting real bad.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We're dying, I think is what it is.
Dying?
Yeah. I put the knife deep in me.
Christ, it's spreading.
Yeah.
Don't leave me here alone.
And then, you know, of course, his farewell at the end, you know, rising to defeat Fats, I guess, because he couldn't bring harm to her.
Fats has dominated what he has done throughout the entire film. And Fats is telling him to take the knife and go kill this chick.
Yeah.
He stabs himself instead of her.
Right.
So, because that's his self-reflection, knowing that he's got to die or else she will. He right. has taken his own life before he's taken hers.
So,
because he knows he is gone.
Right.
He knows he is damaged.
Schmuckle. Us was you.
What?
It was you all the time. I hope I don't die first. It's all.
I think we go together. Chances are.
Again, I'm not saying it's a bad film, but this should not be considered horror.
You know what? Every time I saw it on the rack, it was in the horror section. Every time.
Go to IMDb right now, they credit it as a horror film.
This is not a horror movie. I don't care. You can tell me. You can sit there. You can put a gun to my fucking head. This is not a horror movie. This is a drama thriller. Drama being first, thriller being second. That's it. Drama with hints of thriller. That's my opinion.
Did you enjoy it?
Forget the fact that this is supposed to be a horror podcast.
Yeah.
It was a decent movie.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not a horror film. I'm not saying we can't do it for a horror podcast. I'm not saying you should have put it up as a horror podcast.
I certainly hope not, because I got to make a show out of this.
But I am saying that it is not... This will be very different than anything we've ever done on the podcast.
Probably.
And I would say probably anything we ever will do on the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your viewing pleasure... My version of the miser's dream.
Was it a wet dream?
Imagine if you were...
When I have a wet dream, all that happens is I wake up covered with sawdust.
If you don't stop interrupting, I'm going to put a contract out on you with a mafia woodpecker.
You know, I love Hannibal Lecter. I love Silence of the Lambs. No shit, man. Like, the way he is in the cell with Clarice and the way he is talking to the governor and the way he deals with the cops in the cell, there's a lot of range there. But, like, the whole sweat and... Just okay. His performance in this film, I think there's probably 5 people on the planet that could have pulled this off correct.
I look at it from the perspective of somebody that we now know at his current age and his current arc in his career as being a master, for lack of
yes.
This was him honing and working towards yes. that mastery. He's still earlier in his career. I think if you had given. If I would actually really love to sit down with Anthony Hopkins and basically say, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently? Because I don't know if it's Nerdwriter or one of the other ones on YouTube does this fantastic breakdown of just one of the scenes.
In Westworld.
In Westworld.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
And if you look at what he does in this compared to how he acts now, everything from like around Silence of the Lambs onwards, somewhere during that period, he learned almost like a subtlety of control that he does not exercise.
He is definitely stiffer in this, and he'll say that in interviews. If you watch the interviews about this film, and later he's gone back reflectively to look at this movie again.
I wouldn't say stiffer. I would just say he's an actor learning his craft. And yes, he had started a decade earlier. I get that. He started in the 60s. I understand that. But he's still not Anthony Hopkins, the multi-time Oscar nominee, soon to be multi-time Oscar winner. He's not there yet. He's an actor learning his craft. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
This is very cruel of you, you know that? I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive you.
Nude, I want you to score this film for me, please.
I will give it a 7.
7?
Yeah. It's, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. It's a good, it's seeing him, you know, develop, in, not develop, but I guess sink into his mania.
Yeah.
And a very good role for him, I think. And I mean, yeah, he's obviously improved as he's, you know, done more and more movies and stuff. But for an early actor for him, even though he's got, what, 10 years before or whatever? Yeah, he's done well. I enjoyed it. Again, not to beat a dead horse, not a horror movie.
Okay.
But it's a good movie. So, yeah, 7 out of 10.
Oh, he's heavy.
Husky or bimbo.
His lips didn't move.
That's because you're not stroking my lever, sweetheart.
Paul B. I'll say 7.5. It's not a horror film. I will die on that hill. It is not a horror film. As a Descent into Madness... It's good. There are some issues with pacing. It is not the best performance Anthony Hopkins has ever given. You can see where he's going to be a very good actor. He's on that road. I think the best performance in the film is Burgess Meredith and the husband. Those are the two best performances in the film. There's some pacing issues. There is not a moment that I found even remotely close to frightening in terms of like a horror jolting scary moment, but as a character study of somebody descending into being batshit crazy, it's very good.
In the middle of the act, one night, you don't expect it, I scream, there's bodies in Lake Melody.
Nick!
Yeah, I honestly feel like I'm gonna match Nude 7 on this. I did enjoy it, but I felt every fucking second of this movie.
And Brian warned you. It's gonna be a slow burn.
He warned it was a slow burn. He didn't say it was a fucking marathon. No, it's like I enjoyed it. I wish it was tighter. I wish the plot and some of the characters were a little better written. You know, it's like I wish Anne Margaret was just used as slightly more than just like set dressing and a plot device. Like, it didn't scare me. It didn't thrill me. I kind of knew where it was going. And at any point where I'm just like, wow, if they did this instead, that'd be great. Oh, they didn't. Never mind. No, I did enjoy it. Like, I'm not shitting on it. I'm not hating on it.
Corky has turned impossible. I don't believe it. Well, I should have been a cesspool cleaner like my mama wanted.
Brian Stewart, score this one.
I actually anticipated there'd be a lot of 7s. I thought that was going to be the median average. I'm going to give it an 8, slightly higher than 7. It's not perfect. I knew that going in. But there are a lot of things that I truly love about this film. And most of those points are going to performances. I love Burgess Meredith in this. You know, going back how long, you know me, 35 years. But in this, holy hell, is he amazing. Old school actor. Actually, Goldman was the person who suggested Burgess Meredith for this movie when they were doing the casting, and he referred to him as the American Olivier. He said, in America, they don't have the great British actors or the reverence that they have like for the Shakespearean actors in the UK. And they said, you don't really have a great stage actor, you know, in America. And he said, except for Meredith. That's what he said. He said, Burgess Meredith was the American Olivier. And you see that here. He is such a wise, wonderful character. How do you not love him in this movie? He is so great. And when he looks at Corky through that door, and just his silence speaks volumes. You can feel what he's thinking, just staring at him like this poor, broken guy who's like, oh, when he says, how long you been like this, kid? It's heartbreaking. You feel it. And I think, you know, very few actors can convey so much with like five words of dialogue. He's just amazing. I love the performances in this. I don't mind that it's a slow burn. I don't mind a slower paced film. I like the atmosphere and the mood. I like once we get to the Catskills how muted all the tones are, and I like the feeling of the fall, and I like the feeling of a place in decline. It's kind of like when Wonder Boy sets Pittsburgh as its backdrop as a faded steel town. I like that feeling of ennui. Yeah, exactly. But I like that kind of the sense of the fall and the autumn. It was kind of perfect for this time of year. Not all the trees are dead. It fit the tone for this time of year perfectly. I can't get over just, you know, and I've watched this film a few times just for the performances. And anytime you can put Anthony Hopkins and Burgess Meredith in a movie together, I'm going to watch it.
Do you think we'll laugh about this someday?
Why?
Make a terrific scene if you ever decide to write your autobiography.
I'm going to match your 8 out of 10. You know what? It should be more. My biggest problem with this film is the whole Anne Margaret thing. I don't buy her character at all. I don't see it. Other than that, watching Anthony Hopkins just descend into madness, and every scene in this film where him and Fats are going back and forth, I fucking love.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I thought it was like, I don't know how many takes it required, but the timing and everything, and you can tell in the audio, a lot of it was like him doing his scenes in real time, and then him having to do post the audio.
Dubbing. But,
yeah,
but dubbing. If you actually pay attention to a lot of it too, he's actually tightening up his throat to make it look like he's
A lot of it is actually him doing the virginity. Not all the shots, but
he does. There's a few. There's a few where you can see him doing the mouthing, and you can tell. But there's a lot of it where you can tell the audio from him as Anthony Hopkins is completely different from the audio of him as Fats, because it's all in post production. I like how it ended, too. I like how he killed himself to get away from the situation before he had to kill somebody else because of his sickness.
And at that point, he knew he was never going to gain
control. No. There was no way. There was no happy ever after with this guy. He was fucked. He knew he was fucked. He knew he was fucked from the beginning. How many people had to die before he recognized that he could not continue like this?
He still felt at some point like he had a hand on the wheel, and that by doing this he was somehow going to wind up
as soon as he was up there with a fucking knife about ready to kill the only person in the world that he loved anymore. That was the end of it. A good story.
Once he realizes somebody else had both hands on the wheel and it wasn't him.
That's it. I don't know. Is it a horror? Maybe not. Is it a thriller?
I'll concede this is probably not a horror
film. Is it great film? And should people fucking see it? If you have not seen this film from 1978, is it a slow burn? Yes. Is it absolutely a phenomenal film with good performances and excellent actors? Yes. Watch this film.
Yes.
I think people should watch it.
I think they should watch it at least once and make a drinking game for every time. We should invent a drinking game for this.
There's got to be something.
Every time Fats' eyes move, you got to drink.
Oh, we'd be dead.
Every time Fats' eyes move, drink, or his eyebrows go up and down.
Sweet mystery of life, at last I found you. Fasten your seatbelts, everybody. It's going to be a bumpy night.
And there it is, listeners, Magic, starring Anthony Hopkins, Burgess Meredith, Anne Margaret, and Ed Lauder. Is it horror? Is it not horror? We're split down the middle over here, but the talent involved in this film is worth the price of admission. Watching Hopkins carefully juggle two personas and then spiral out of control is really something you have to see. Fats the Dummy effortlessly swings from funny and charming to sadistic and menacing, and the camera really does a good job of allowing Fats to steal the show. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B., and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and have a wonderful New Year's. We will catch you in 2022 to continue educating your fears.
In fairness, you were the first person to suggest doing it as a show, and I latch onto it. Now, So dude, you did.
Dude, I'm sorry. When it comes to this movie, you were both cupping the balls and working the shaft.
Only because he's a, I'm sorry. As the person who's known Brian the longest in this room, all right, and everything is either the best or the greatest.
I sell what I like, and I'm not ashamed. I'm a passionate man who wears his heart on his sleeve,
just
damn it.
Just do me a favor. Next time, if you're going to go off about this shit and talk it up that much, at least one time be right.
But Brian Stewart?
Oh, that's harsh. You know what?
Get the gauntlet is thrown.